right, if you will, take your Bible and let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2. The series we're teaching is through the book of Ephesians, and it's entitled Be Rich. You know, the moment you got saved, you became wealthy, not so much in material goods, but in spiritual things, a lot of great and wonderful spiritual things. And we are rich because we are saved. Today's lesson is a reminder for us to get out of the graveyard. Get out of the graveyard. There are some Christians who are still sort of living in the graveyard. They're not taking advantage of their resurrected life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to think about that as we look at these verses. I was in Cairo, Egypt, some years back, and we went up and down the Nile River, and then we went to a place called the City of the Dead, and we looked, and for, I know, many square miles, there was mausoleums, and then there were people who lived there. Those were their homes. They lived in the City of the Dead, and that's why it was called that. And I thought that was pretty unique. I was glad I didn't live there. But City of the Dead is something that we have all around us. If you walk out here today and you don't have to go very far, you're going to find some people that are dead. Maybe some in the services today that are dead spiritually. I'm not talking about those who sleep, but those who are dead spiritually. And they're all around us. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. And that's what he's talking about. We need to get out of the graveyard, not only as unsaved people, but as saved people too. So when we are, when we become Christians, we're no longer spiritually dead. We get over that. We're no longer spiritually dead. It's a miracle of God's grace. He takes us out of the graveyard, spiritual death, and gives us new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we look at some of these people, the terrible spiritual condition of the unsaved. They're in bad shape. They really are. They may not know it, but they are in bad shape, a bad spiritual condition. In other words, they're lost. And so we want to see these things in about four different ways, the condition of them and why they are that way. So look at verse number 1. The reason they are that way is because he is dead, or they are dead. Look at verse 1, Ephesians 2, chapter number 2, and verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Spiritual death. And the Holy Spirit quickens us. God quickens. We are spiritually dead until that happens. When did that first start? It started with Adam and Eve, didn't it? And Adam and Eve did what God told them not to do. And what did God tell them was going to happen to them the moment they did that? He said, when you do that, you will what? Surely die. Did they die physically that day? No. But they did die spiritually, and they began to die physically, to be sure. But they are, we have a body, we're trichotomatic, like a tricycle. We have a body, and we have a soul, and we have a spirit. And so Adam and Eve had all of that, but their spirit died whenever they sinned against God. And he said, you're going to die if you do that. And then they became unable to understand spiritual things like they should understand them. They had no basic spiritual life. Once they sinned against God, they were dead spiritually. And they could really do nothing until they understood grace and how to be saved and the blood atonement and all of those things. And then they could be spiritually alive and please the Lord. But until then, they couldn't. And we have people who are physically dead, and they cannot respond, and they do not respond to outside stimuli, do they? I mean, a lot of times we have remains that are right here, right behind me, maybe in a casket, and those people do not respond to anything. They don't respond to anything. They don't hear our conversation. Wouldn't it be interesting to hear a lot of the conversations that go on? Some people wouldn't want you to hear what they were saying. You know, it's like the little boy, and he punched his mom, and he said, go up there and see who they're talking about. And said, that couldn't be Daddy up there. You know, so because all the things they were saying good about him, and he knew that he wasn't really a good person, but they are spiritually dead. They don't respond to insults. You can walk up to a dead person and tell them off and say anything you want to them, but they're not going to respond. And that's just part of it. I'm not trying to be morbid, but just to illustrate it. You can offer them a steak. You can offer them a milkshake. You can offer them an In-N-Out burger. That's a real temptation to anybody. And you can do all of that, and they don't want it. They're not going to reach up and get it, are they? Why? Because they are physically dead. They feel no pain. There's no pain whatsoever. And so that's the way it is when we're spiritually dead. We are dead like a physical person who is dead physically. And we are spiritually dead. In other words, we are unable in that condition to respond to God like we should and to do what we should that God wants us to do. Unable to respond to spiritual things. We cannot function right spiritually. People who are not saved cannot function right spiritually. God has to be the one who gives them life. That's what he's talking about. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass. Spiritually dead. And so they cannot function spiritually. God has to give them life. And what is the cause? Well, verse 2, the first part of that, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. That's a result of being spiritually dead, but it's a sign of it. They're spiritually dead, or we would say they are depraved. The depravity of mankind. Man cannot pick himself up by the bootstraps and save himself through his good works or whatever. That's not going to happen. And he is absolutely spiritually dead. He's not sick. He's not sick. We say, well, he's sin sick, but he's not sick, and he cannot be resuscitated in that condition. It's not going to happen. He needs something called the resurrection. He needs a resurrection. That's the quickening he's talking about. He hath quickened. The Holy Spirit quickens us when we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And all lost people are dead in their sins. Here is one difference you might say as you look at unsaved people. There could be, the only difference in sinners probably is the state of their decay, where they are in the depraved life, their state of their decay. For instance, if you go downtown here and go down off of the interstate, going north and take a right on Lancaster Street, you're going to see, and I'm not making fun of those people, don't misunderstand, but you're going to see them skid row the results and the decay of being spiritually dead and not walking with the Lord. And some are perhaps more decayed than others, and you see the results of all of that. You also can go right downtown and go into the largest, tallest building down there and meet somebody who is well-known, well-off, wealthy, well-educated, but they're just as lost. They're just as lost. It depends on the decay area of that sin. But one corpse can't be more dead than another. They're all dead, and that's why they do what they do. Our world basically is a vast graveyard. It's just filled with people who are spiritually dead. That's why we're in the mess we're in. Because people are just filled with spiritual debt. And it doesn't matter if it's a society leader, whoever it might be. The Bible talks about people being dead while they live. That doesn't make sense. That's an oxymoron, whatever that is. That doesn't make sense, does it? They are dead while they live, but they're spiritually dead. They're alive physically, but they are spiritually dead. 1 Timothy 5:6, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. In other words, let's say a streetwalker. She is alive, but she's dead spiritually. And that's what he's talking about. And there are many illustrations of that. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. That's the Bible. So there's a terrible condition. There's that terrible condition that we have. And he's in that condition. And B, he is disobedient. That's one reason he's in that terrible condition. Look at verses 2 through the first part of verse 3. And follow what he's saying. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. According to the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is that? That's the devil. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. All of that because of the devil, prince and power, according to the world, among whom, verse 3, first part, among whom also we all had our conversation, our lifestyle, the way we lived in times past, and we were that way. He's saying to the saved people, you used to be that way too. You were spiritually dead until you got saved. And now you don't live like that, but back then, you did before you got saved. So man is disobedient. And that's the beginning of man's spiritual death. When he's disobedient, he is a sinner, and he disobeys God for that reason. So he disobeyed God's will. Here's what God said in Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's what I was referring to earlier. And then Satan said, here's the other side of that. Satan said, Genesis 3:4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You see, Satan always attacks the truth of the Word of God. Always. And that's why he attacks the Bible in so many ways today, because he hates the truth of the Word of God. So God said, don't eat. If you do, you're going to die. And the devil said, I'll go ahead and eat it. You won't die. You'll be like a god. You'll be something else if you'll just go ahead and disobey God. So Adam and Eve sinned, and immediately they died spiritually. There are about three forces that encourage man to disobey God. And here are the three that we deal with all the time that really works against people so they will disobey God and won't get saved. One is the world system. And two is the devil. He's real. And then three is the flesh, our old depraved fleshly nature. These work against it. And so we have the world or the world system. And that's what he's talking about in 2a, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. The people in the world that are lost do what they do because they're lost. And they were following that. And Jesus wants us to be saved, and he wants us to conform to the image of his Son. That's what he wants. He does not want us to conform to the world system. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. Hey, Christian, are you listening? We are so apt to want to be like the world. We want to dress like them. We want to go to the same kind of places they go to. We want to live like them. We have a lot of things that we want to do, and that these are things that the world does. But God said, be not conformed to this world. Don't let them put you in their box. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, that what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So don't let the world conform you. We have too much of that in Christians in our churches today. We are conforming to the world in drinking and the dress code, and I could go on, and that's a whole nother message. But I'm telling you, that's what we do. Jesus was not of this world. He's not of this world, and neither should we be in that sense. Here's what he says, John 8:23, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. That's Jesus speaking. And then in John 17:14, he said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. That's why people don't like you if you live by the word. The world hath hated them because they are not of the world. We are not of the world. We're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus said, I'm not of the world. You shouldn't be of the world either. Where is he now? He's at the right hand of the Father. He's in heaven, and we're in heaven in him, according to the scripture. So the unsaved are controlled by the world system. They just jump in any old belief, anything that's going on, any fad that's out there, acceptance of homosexuality, lesbianism, and the gender change. Well, that's popular. Let's all do all of those things. And they conform. They're unsaved. They don't have an ounce of spirituality in them. They're controlled by the world and what it values. What is that? Well, it's the flesh, the world. And then there's the devil. In the middle part of that verse, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? That is the devil. He is real. How many of you believe he's real? Say amen. He is real. He really is. But thank God he is not omnipresent. Jesus says God is, but the devil isn't. But don't count him out as far as his power. He has a lot of associates. He has a lot, I started to say associate pastors. That wouldn't be good, would it? He has a lot of associates. And they work against us. Ephesians 6:11-12. Turn over there right quick. You're in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. This is why we're warned to do this. Put on the whole armor of God. By the way, have you put it on this morning? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not out there wrestling somebody in a wrestling arena, but against the principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, demons, Satan, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're fighting that all the time. And so we have the demonic associates that are there. And then he has power over the world that God allows him. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now, he says, this is later on when judgment comes. But notice the title he gives him. He said, I'm going to judge this person. Who is this person? Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. That's the devil. He is the prince and power of the air. He is the prince of this world. And he works through his associates, the demons that are out there. Demons are real. I'd like to teach on demonology sometime. The last time I taught it, I wasn't really as spiritually prepared as I should have been. I grant you, if I ever teach on demons again, I'll fast a whole lot more, because I could tell you a lot of stories of some weird things, and I'm not trying to spook you out, but some weird things that happened when I was doing that. They are real. That's my point here. Satan influences the lives of all unbelievers. Not just some of them, but all of them. He influences the lives of all unbelievers. And he does try to influence believers. He wants to influence us to do wrong. One of the chief tools he uses, and he used it in the garden, and he uses it now, is lies. He uses lies. And he'll lie to us, and a lot of Christians fall for his lies. We just pull it right in. John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He speaks a lie, for he is a liar and the father of it. The devil's the father of lies. And he will use any kind of lie against the word of God, like he did to them. Ye shall not surely die. That was a lie, wasn't it? He lied to Adam and Eve. And they paid the consequences, and we pay for it some today too. So, lots of believers that do the very same thing. Now, we have the world, the devil, and thirdly, the third force that encourages unbelievers is the flesh. The flesh. It's not just the body. The body isn't in itself without the other aspects sinful. Not the body, but the flesh is referring to the fallen nature that we have. We all have a fallen, depraved nature. And that's what he's talking about. The flesh refers to that. And who has that? Everybody's born with it. Even little babies are born with it. And you say, but don't babies go to heaven? Yes, they do. And if they have not come to the age of accountability, but that's another lesson. And we won't tarry there. But I'm saying to you that we have fallen natures. We were born in sin, conceived in sin, the Bible says. And so that old nature wants to control our body and our mind. Even this morning, probably many of you have had some thoughts that popped in your mind. And you thought, where did that come from? This is the Lord's Day. This is Sunday. Why am I thinking that kind of thought? Why is that on my mind? Might be jealousy or envy or hatefulness or some kind of sexual matter in the mind, whatever it might be. But the devil works, and he wants to control our body and our mind. An evangelist was delivering a message, and he wanted to get a good crowd, so he entitled the message, Why Your Dog Does What It Does. Why Your Dog Does What It Does. And he had a big crowd, and he enlightened them by this statement. A dog behaves like a dog because he has a dog's nature. Right? A dog behaves like a dog because he has a dog nature. How would you like to implant a brain of a cat in a dog? Wouldn't that be interesting? Can you see that dog acting like a cat? That would be something else. But here's the thing. Why do sinners behave like sinners? That's their nature. That's their nature. And we say, how could they be so evil? How could they be so mean? How could these radical Muslims chop off the heads of little children, little babies? They are controlled by demons in the flesh and all of that. They have, that is their nature. And some not so radical as that, but we have the nature of a sinner. And the Bible calls that in verse 3, back in Ephesians, he calls that in chapter 2, verse 3, the flesh. And he says the desires, in other words, the conversation, your lifestyle, and the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh of the mind, and were the nature of the children of wrath, even as others. That's our nature. We're lost until we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you wonder how people can do what they do. It's because they are spiritually dead. Now, some, I believe, have more demons, like the maniac of Gadara, that had many demons in him. Some have fewer, but they're lost. Either way, any way you look at it, they're lost. And so, by the way, that does not mean that they're always doing evil. You can be lost and do some good things, right? You can be lost and still do some good things. That's why a lot of them think they're going to heaven. They're lost. They're doing good things, philanthropy and so on and so forth. But the lost, according to the Bible, can help each other. Luke 6:33. He says, if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank you? I mean, that's no big deal. If I'm good to you and you're good to me, that's pretty standard. But then he says, for sinners also do even the same. They do good to each other, yet they're sinners. And the lost can do good things to children. They can do some good. Luke 11:13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Talking about Christians. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And we have the Spirit of God leading us to do that. But if ye then, being evil, know how to do good gifts. He is teaching us there that even unsaved people can do good things. They can make people feel happy. They can give gifts. They can help each other. They are able to do that. But they're not always evil things, but they're lost. And then the latter part of that verse, he is doomed. Look at it again. And were by nature the children of what? Wrath. The wrath of God. Thank God we'll be translated, we'll be raptured, and we as believers will not face the wrath of God. The Bible tells us that. 1 Thessalonians 4 teaches us that. But an unsaved person is doomed, the wrath, condemned. John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. So if you believe on Christ and ask him to save you, you're not condemned today. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Anybody has not believed on the name of the Son of God, you're already condemned. In other words, you'll die and go to hell. You're condemned. Because he hath not believed. Why? He hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's only one way to heaven. That's through the only begotten Son of God, Jesus. And if they have not believed, they are under the wrath of God right now. They're condemned. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank God he's patient, and he gives people space to repent. But until they do, they are under the wrath of God. And if they die that way, they'll die and go to hell. But if they repent, and God is so merciful, and I'm glad he was merciful to me. How about you? He was merciful to all of us. And some of the testimonies here probably would shock us into this area. But God is patient, and he stays at execution. And so sin works against us. And then, secondly, and you already know I'm not going to get through this lesson. So you'll bring your paper back next week. And that is God's work for us. God's work for us. Sin worked against us, and God works for us. And we'll look at those verses and break them down next week. But he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And I love these verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Good works have their place. Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We'll break those verses down in the next lesson as we look, as it plainly tells us here, what God does for the sinner, what God does for us. And we'll deal with that later. But what we need to recognize is how Satan works in our life, and what he does to keep us blinded, to keep unsaved people blinded. The reason they act the way they do is they're spiritually dead, and the devil is who they're serving, whether they recognize it or not. And that's why we have the problems we have anywhere in this world, is because people do not conform to the image of Jesus Christ. And God said He's predestinated us, Romans 8:28-29, to what? Not to die, go to hell, or go to heaven. He's predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what He wants out of me. That's what He wants out of you. Father, thank You for the blessed book of books, the book that is perfect, the book that You have preserved for us to this hour. And thank You that it explains who we are, why we do what we do, that explains that lost people are spiritually dead and why they're dead, and why only You, God, can work in their lives, as verse 1 tells us, how You would move in and draw them and convict them and tell them they need to be born again and that they might come to Christ. That's what happened to every one of us in this building now that got saved, that were born again. The Holy Spirit, through His power, awakened us, quickened us, gave us enough life in us when we were dead to help us make a decision to receive Christ as our Savior. We thank You for that in His name. Amen.